Dr. Baldwin, you were an eyewitness to the incredible event that took place at Asbury University in early 2023, and you're sharing the insight in a new book called Generation Awakened. Now, many of us remember some of the stories that came out during that time, but for those people who may not be as familiar, share with us what God did.
Yes. So on February 8th, 2023, at the end of a typical worship service, I mean, some people say that they sensed that God was moving during the service. Most people say it just felt typical. But at the end of the service, a few students stayed to worship. And that's not totally unusual. I mean, over the course of the year, a handful of times, students will stay after chapel to worship. So I didn't think a lot about it. And I was eating lunch and I got a text from a friend and she said, "Sarah, chapel is not over. You got to come over and see what's going on." So I went back over about 1:15 that afternoon. And sure enough, there was about 30 students and they seemed to be really present to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit seemed really present to them. There was a very sweet and gracious worship happening. People were at the altar. There was a gentle singing. Our Asbury Gospel Choir was continuing to lead worship, and there was just this open-hearted goodness in the space. Now, again, I didn't think very much about this. I just enjoyed what was happening with the students and went on to another meeting. And then I came back, and I came back again later that afternoon and evening. And to my surprise, more and more people came. We begin to see many students of our own arriving through text messaging, and they were Instagramming one another and TikToking each other, and going mostly to knock on classroom doors and saying, "Hey, you've got to come. Something is happening." And our students just had this contagious sense that God was on the move. And one of our students, I mean, it wasn't unusual to see our students even like running to the chapel, to Hughes, where our chapel is held. And by that evening, we were very surprised and interested to see that community members had started to show up. And then we started getting notifications that people from other universities and colleges were coming. So that was the first evening. And we decided to leave it open overnight and just expecting that it would wind up on its own in the early morning hours or that next morning. But it didn't.
All right. Tell us about your book, why you picked that particular title.
Yes. Well, we sense that God was starting with this young generation, this young group of adults, teenagers, high school students, but mostly college students and young adults. And we saw that God was doing something in them. And essentially, the flame was lit in Generation Z. And then the rest of us were pulling up our chairs to this feast, this banquet in God. And after those first few days at Asbury, those first 24 to 48 hours, when we began to see more and more college students arrive and come from all different states and universities, and we were just delighted and surprised that all these college students were coming. We thought that was amazing. And our own students were having this supernatural experience with God. They were confessing, they were repenting, they were at the altar, they were reconciliation between one another, restoration of relationship. They were experiencing some spiritual and emotional healing. They were sharing stories of everything from self-harm to addictions to suicidal ideation to anxiety and depression, and sharing their need for God and stories of feeling the Holy Spirit upon them in a unique way. So we saw it first happen with this generation. And then as the days unfolded, it seemed like the rest of the world wanted to show up. And they did, like hundreds and thousands of people unexpectedly came. So what we saw first was this young generation awakened to God in a beautiful and profound and contagious way. And then the rest of us were just catching up.
Thank you. So when it first hit you, when it first kind of solidified that this is happening, this is real, what was going through your heart?
Yeah. Well, it kind of came in stages, right? Because of course, when I'm looking back, I can see the whole picture of it. But when it was happening, it was really hour by hour. We were a few of us who were on the ministry team and the leadership in the university side, we were just meeting every 2 or 3 hours, sometimes every hour, and asking each other, what are you seeing? What's God doing? What's happening? And frankly, we were surprised. And although we had a shared holy imagination that God could do things like this, we'd seen it happen in 1970 in a pretty tremendous way on our campus. So we had this kind of family historical story that this could happen, but we really couldn't believe our eyes. And those first few days, I kept saying to everyone I could, surely this is the crest. Like this has been a wave of people, and we've reached the peak, and it's going to fall off. But that is not what happened. And we were shocked. We were full of awe. We were full of wonder. We were just amazed that what we were seeing, we felt like I felt like I was getting a little taste of the gospels, like people showing up desperate to experience Jesus from all over.
I understand that Asbury decided at some point to shepherd the revival rather than try to control it. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, very early on, as this began to unfold and we were experiencing God pouring out love upon us and the contagious effect that it had, we realized that we weren't in charge of this at all. And we just had this holy awe and wonder, and perhaps a little bit of fear, like, don't mess this up. Like this is amazing. What is God doing? And so we knew that this was nothing that was under our human control. That psalm where it says to be a doorkeeper in the house of God is better than a thousand, better than being in the tents of the wicked. And I think we felt as though we were doorkeepers, like that was our role, like something God was residing in a really beautiful way in this space. And our role was just to scaffold and shepherd and support it, but not control it. And that was a deep consensus. Like I think we were all sharing this awe and wonder together. So when we were seeing this unfold, we all had that same sense of holy wonder. And we really just felt and knew that we couldn't control it. We could only honor it. And so we built just kind of as it was happening, a simple structure unfolded to support what we saw God doing, particularly in those first few hours, and to help hold that, and until we sensed that the time would be to release it.
In all, how many people, including students and faculty and visitors, would you say took part that were involved in this?
Well, the number that we say is 50,000, although we all admit that that is a conservative estimate. So I would say at least 50,000, and our little town is 6,000. So we have two stoplights and, a little tiny grocery store and a Subway and a snack shop. I mean, that's really what we have. And so for us to have over the course of the 16 days, and sometimes on there was a couple Saturdays where we think there was like 20,000 people that came on that day, so at least 50,000 people. There was times when the line was over 9 hours long, like a mile and a half. Like literally, we couldn't pe keep people away. At one point, there was this the state the county police set up this big sign coming into our little town, Wilmore, and it was flashing and it said revival full capacity. And I just love that sign because the roads were getting so overloaded and people were having trouble getting in or out. And so I would see pictures because I wasn't out on the roads myself. We were, our hands were full with what we were doing. We'd see pictures of that revival full capacity. And I just love that. Like, when do we get to see in our world a revival being at full capacity? It was just amazing.
It's incredible. Do you have any thoughts or speculation as to why God may have chosen Asbury?
We do have this family story, the shared holy imagination that God is present and active. And Since as early as 1905, there has been recorded moments of similar outpourings. I mean, none that were in the time of social media, right? So it looked really, really different. But there's been, perhaps between 5 and 10 of these outpourings of God over the last century, the largest, as I mentioned before, in 1970. So although that is part of our family story, that we still lack a little bit of like spiritual imagination that it could happen any day, right? So I do think a couple of things. One is that it's part of our story. And so I think when things started to unfold, perhaps in another place, someone made a different decision that, okay, we're so glad these students are worshiping together, but let's go ahead and close things up and make sure they get good night's sleep so they can go to class the next day. And that wouldn't necessarily been a wrong decision, but our sense was, wow, we kind of recognize that God might be doing something far beyond our human understanding. And so I think that that family story and that it really was helpful to us to spark a holy imagination. I also think that Asbury is a community of ready people. Our president quotes a faculty member saying, "We're like a dry riverbed. When water comes, it knows where to go." And I do think that speaks to our tradition and theological commitment to being a holiness people, to being a people that are bent on being totally surrendered to Jesus. And that earnest discipleship is part of the language of our community. The last thing I will say is that in our little town of Wilmore, there's a college and a seminary, both named Asbury, but two different institutions. And therefore, in our little town, we have a lot of spiritual maturity. We have retired missionaries and pastors, we have seminary professors and university student life people and professors. And so there was a lot of spiritual maturity that was surrounding us. And so when the time came, those people were activated and ready, and they came to show up and support and pray and volunteer. And so I think that we're just in a unique place in that way. But the real answer, I don't know. Maybe just that we were willing to say yes. Maybe God's asking us to do these things all the time. And just sometimes we as a community say yes.
We cannot predict the future, but you are hopeful that this is not the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, since those 16 days when it was, essentially released to the world, I mean, we've heard so many accounts of outpourings connected to this one and on its own that God seems to be doing something really unique and special with this generation, and that they are ready to experience more of God. So we have seen that across the globe, but I think we would all agree. Like I kind of laugh because Wikipedia calls what happened a phenomenon. And what's the difference between a phenomenon and a revival or an outpouring? I mean, I think the difference is lives changed and people experiencing the power of God. But we would all agree that we need more outpourings of God's love on this planet. And so I'm like, come, Lord Jesus, bring it on. Like we need more revival, more signs of hope. More yet saying yes to Jesus, more surrender, and more recognition of the hungry hearts of the people of the world.
Dr. Baldwin, the full name of the book, and where can it be purchased?
Yeah, Generation Awakened, an eyewitness account of the powerful outpouring of God at Asbury. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. It's released to the world on May 7. I mean, really, my prayer is that it would encourage people in their faith and it would encourage people to be expectant that in day-to-day life, God could be moving. I mean, we believe God is moving and that we can say yes to what God is doing.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing your heart and this history and this mystery with us.
Thank you so much. What a great opportunity.